Okay, next factor. We looked at the force number one. Force number one was the law of the few, which simply means if you're going to spread something, not everybody's equal. There's three groups of people you want to look for. Connectors, what's the second group? Mavens in the third group. Salespeople, influencers. Tell me, how do you know if somebody's really a connector? What's their nature? Deep, few, strong relationships. Lots and lots of acquaintances, weak relationships, power of weakness. They know lots of people and they love doing it. It's their nature. A maven, how do you know they're a maven? What sets them apart? What are they as a maven? Detailed expert, they know everything about a particular subject they could possibly know. They want to get the best deal, the best everything, and they want to what? Share it. They want to help. They're basically teachers, right? And they get juice out of it. They're disinterested parties in the process, or at least even if they interest, it's not the primary reason. They're doing it because they just love to share it. And the third group is salespeople, and salespeople's primary quality is energy, so you know. Energy, likability, charisma, energy, enthusiasm, and it comes from their body even when they're not speaking. That's their nature, that's their power. You can try and train someone how to sell, or you can take someone who can sell anything because their whole body and mind and spirit does it by their presence alone. Those three groups of people are the law of the few. Those few people can spread more than everybody else combined. They take it to the masses. You got to figure out where you get those people, where you hire those people, where you connect with those people, how you spread your message to those people. The second key to an epidemic is the actual message itself has to be sticky. The law of the few teaches us the critical factor in epidemics is the nature of the messenger. The second piece is the message, the movie, the food, the product must be memorable. Now, most people, when they're doing it, they try to speak with emphasis. They try to put something out. What I want you to see very quickly is little things mean everything. And I want you to think of things that are counterintuitive. So here's some examples. Columbia House Record Club. How many know what I'm talking about? It's been around forever. It's that record club where they say, send us a dollar and we'll send you 12 CDs or DVDs or whatever the music or film version of it is. And then you get shipped to Forbid once a month. And they, you know, you pick one out and they ship it to you. It's been around forever, extremely profitable business, the largest club of its type in the world. The gentleman who ran that account for almost 30 years, his name is Lester Wunderman. During the 1970s, it looked like, you know, Columbia House wanted to try someone else to handle the account. Someone else came up with a better idea about how to promote it. They said, he's just promoting this in simple magazines and his television ads aren't that effective. We're going to do prime time. We're going to take you to another level. We're going to explode. Because in the late 70s, during the mid 70s, Columbia House had a dipping point where it wasn't doing quite so well. It kind of dropped down just a bit. Not huge, but just a bit. So he didn't want to lose. They said, okay, we'll give you part of the account. We'll give you the television portion of the account. He didn't want to lose the account, so he went back to Columbia House and said, how about we do this? Divide, you know, there are 26 cities you want to do this advertising in. Give them 13 cities. Give me 13 cities. Let me do television. Let them do television. And let's test our ads by proving whether they work or not by putting newspaper ads, magazine ads in to see whether the television ads actually convert to people buying, because that's where people usually buy. They buy from a newspaper or magazine ad. And they said, let's put them in those cities, let's see whose is more effective, and whoever's most effective gets the whole account, rather than splitting the account. He said, I'm willing to do that. Columbia House said, great. The other people, had not the people are competing, what are they going to say? No, we don't want to compete with the guy, so they agreed. So here's what happened. The competitor went out, and they went out, it was Ericsson, and they went out and bought primetime spots. That's the best, intuitively you would say, the best time to advertise. It's also the most, what? Expensive time to advertise because it's considered the best time. So they ran ads. The original guy, Lester, went out and only bought ads on late night television, right? The places where I live, right? Late night television because it's less expensive. But here's what he did differently. And the difference was, if you want to mark it in your notes, Ericsson got a 19% return. Wunderman got an 80% return. And the difference was one thing. In the newspaper and magazine ads, he ran the same ads he'd always been running. He just did one thing. He put a little gold box. And in all the television ads, all he talked about, he said the same thing that the other guy said. He said, but look for the special gold box, the treasure box. And if you found that box and you wrote the number in of another piece of music, you got that album for free. It was an additional free album. That increased responsiveness by 80%. ads that had not been pulling for more than 5 years all became profitable in all 13 cities he did this in. Now, here's why. Because now when people heard the television advertisement, they now were getting something special. And now they were looking for something in addition and special that was there. It was the same offer. It was the same ad. It was the same words. It wasn't something special. It was not elusive. It was a pretty cheeky, stupid idea. But it appealed to having people have a reason to look at those ads that gave them an additional benefit. So all of a sudden, sales went crazy, and to this day, he still owns the Columbia House advertising piece. And all he did was find a little gold box. So I'll give you another example. Howard Leventhal did a study in the early 1960s at Yale University. And here's what he did. He wanted to see how effective fear was. So he wanted to see if he could put out a little booklet, an 8-page booklet, on tetanus shots. And he took it to college students at Yale University. And he ran 2 8-page booklets. One booklet was a standard booklet explaining tetanus shots, how important they were, why you should get them, and so forth. And the other booklet was a fear-driven booklet. It was full color. It had photographs of people who had not had tetanus shots and the consequences, lost limbs, tracheotomies. I mean, very, very visual, intense, fear-driven advertising. And afterwards, he did a study with each of these people to find out what their responsiveness was and how important they thought it was to get a tetanus shot. Which group do you think thought would be much more important to get a tetanus shot? The color, photo, high-level fear group, or the group that just read the standard one? Which one? Fear group. You would be right. By a factor of fourfold, they responded that tetanus shots were much more important to get than the group that just read the simple, normal 8-page ad. But here's what they found 3 months later. Only 3% of the people ever went and got a shot, and there was no difference between the ones that saw the fear brochure and the one that saw the normal. They spent a lot more money on the fear brochure. It was in color. They spent a lot more time, a lot more creativity, more intense messaging, no difference in effectiveness. Difference in perception of what was more important, but no difference in behavior. So what would you do if you were in his situation and you want to get more people to get a shot? Make it easier to get the shot? It was already easy to get the shot. It cost no money, and it was at the local health center that was right there on campus. And both of the previous 8-page documents, you know, said that. Connect to a feel-good factor. They tried that. It was no effective. They said, if fear doesn't work, let's do it for positive reasons. No easier. You've ever seen these ads on television where they try to get you to send money for starving children? Some use guilt. Some have shifted to try and use a positive frame, right? They found the same thing true in this group. The one company, which is Christian Fund, has found the one factor was the difference. So far we've used fear and we've used the normal document. We spent a lot of money on one, not much on the other. We definitely got a difference in perception, but no difference in behavior. Only 3% are acting on it. They tried an endorsement one, didn't do it. You know what it is? They needed a gold box. You know what their gold box was? They went from 3% to 38% getting a shot, and all they did was put a map of where the health center was, which everybody already knew, because all the students knew, and the hours in which the shots were available and the phone number to call. From 3% to 38% took it from an intellectual lesson. All these kids go to school all day long, and they learn information that they're able to respond to, but they don't do anything with. And that's how 97% of them responded until there was a map, time, and a phone number to call, and then 38% showed up. That's how different it was. Didn't cost any more, cost less money than the fear one. Positive message didn't do it, negative. They just had to make it easier for these kids to fit it into their lives at the moment they got it. So I'll tell you, why am I so emphatic about this? Because I think you should test this. I'll give you an example. In my business, meaning the seminar business, we've set up a business that you would never want to get in. Here's the business. To be able to do business with me, all you have to do is fly to another part of the earth. Forget you guys. Let's look at the general population. How many of you came out of the UPW and were very excited and told people about it? Let me see your hands. How many told people they should absolutely do it? Let me see your hands. How many had people look at you like you were crazy? Let me see your hands. How many of you, though, convinced some people to the point where they asked you about when the next one was? Let me see your hands. And when you told them that it was 3 to 6 months from now and on the other side of a continent or country or a year from now, how many found that their energy dropped? Because here's what you said. you finally, if you got to that point of believing, they finally went, they felt your influence of the state you're in. And you said you were in New York City, and I did a seminar then. He said, when's he coming back? He said, I think a year from now. Well, but the next one he's doing is in, I think, L.A. in 6 months. Oh, and to go, all you got to do is buy a ticket and fly in a 911 environment, take your family, which doubles the price, or leave them here, which means you have to leave your family and friends, rent a hotel room, rent a car, and pay all this money, and sit in a room for this many hours. This would not be the factor you normally start with, right? So that's why I'm going to digital delivery, because years ago, I delivered it locally in movie theaters to 20 theaters, charged less money. People didn't have to go. They could stay in their own community and go. And I'm returning to that next year because some of the factors that kept me from doing it, like cost of satellite and that, have changed. But here's something else I'm going to test. I'm going to test that in our next UPW, having one change. There are a lot of convenience barriers there. Do you follow that? So I'm going to try something. I'm going to have one phone number that says, if you want to go, call this number. We'll book the hotel. We'll book the flight. We'll book everything. How many think if you only had to make one phone call, some of those people might go? Let me see your hand. My bet is it would increase the people, the responsiveness, at least 10%. And my hallucination is it might be as much as 15 to 20. By the way, when you're spending, let's say, $100,000 on, you know, an ad poll or mailing, would that be a significant transformation, yes or no?